This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest on this Earth Day 2010 is Leighton Stewart, the author of Fire, Ice, and Paradise. He's also the chairman of a couple of nonprofit organizations, including PlantsNeedCO2.org, as well as CO2IsGreen.org. And Mr. Stewart, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Well, happy Earth Day to you.
Happy Earth Day to you, and we'll talk about both what you think of the current agenda and what agenda you think might be better for the nation to pursue. But obviously right now, as both of your organizations suggest, carbon dioxide is at the center of the debate over whether climate change is real, whether climate change is something that man causes, and what ought to be done about it. Let's start with the biggest developments probably since the last Earth Day, and that's the controversy over how data may have been doctored, cover-ups potentially, in the climate change movement. Some say this is the whole house of cards has collapsed. Others say it's not a big deal. What's the truth?
Well, I have to believe that there's some fire behind all of that smoke. And since a lot of those documents got thrown away, I'm afraid we may not ever be able to prove some of it. It kind of worries you that they got conveniently discarded because they can't seem to come up with them now. But a lot of us have been suspicious that they have been using real strange formula to try to come up with a global climate, because from 1979 forward, we've had satellite data that tells us what the temperature is just above the Earth's surface for the entire globe, and they were not matching some of this information that was coming out some of these other organizations. And that's what's really been bothering us. And so, of course, when these emails came in and made it look like, in fact, they were talking about hiding the decline and so forth and things like that, we said, aha, they have really finally been caught. And only a real good outside independent group to look at all of that will determine whether that's true or not.
Mr. Stewart, the contention, of course, from the UN and from those in the climate change movement, Al Gore among others, is that carbon dioxide leads to global warming and that human activity creates an excessive amount of carbon dioxide. Let's break those down. Does CO2 cause global warming, and is man creating too much of it?
Well, let me start with the last part of it. We clearly are putting carbon dioxide in the air. I don't think we're putting in too much, and I can tell you why. When you really look at what CO2 does for the Earth, it is causing the plants to grow like crazy. I mean, they are really picking up the growth, because just since 1860, we've added about 100 parts per million to the atmosphere, and the plants on Earth are growing 12% more robustly, and our forests are growing 18% more robustly. And this can be documented by real studies done by the agricultural community, agricultural universities, commercial greenhouse operators that have done these thousands of studies that show what just adding carbon dioxide will do for plant growth. And that's a big one. So relative to whether CO2 is causing global climate change, it is causing just a little. The laws of physics say that its ability to trap more heat radiated from Earth's surface declines very rapidly, or logarithmically in the mathematical terms. And at this particular point, where we have 387 parts per million in the atmosphere, if we add another 20 or 50 or 100 parts per million, it's hardly going to make any difference in the temperature on Earth. So we're talking about spending trillions of dollars trying to reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and it's going to not amount to anything relative to changes in Earth's temperature, maybe tenths of degrees.
Mr. Stewart, you mentioned that you don't think a little bit of increased carbon dioxide will do much harm, if any, to the Earth. What about if legislation to cap carbon emissions, known as cap and trade, goes through? What impact will that have environmentally?
Well, it's not going to change the temperature on Earth. So there will be trillions of dollars change hands in there, which will not go to anything beneficial, which I think is terrible. It's going to be adding debt for our children, our grandchildren, and everything else. Earth has never had runaway global warming, which is what these models are projecting, that, oh, gee, it's going to get catastrophic and burn the Earth up and all of that. Never has happened there. So why are we going to risk our entire economy on something that has never happened, Greg?
Mr. Stewart, what would be a smart environmental policy?
It would be to go in and go ahead and let the CO2 levels build up while we are still using the most cheap energy efficient energy in the world and spend part of that $2 trillion that we would have wasted on trying to really move alternative fuels forward, really up the amount of dollars that are going into that research. Someday they will become commercial, and when they do, we should step aside and let them come in. But right now, it's all of the dollars that we're spending to subsidize those things are coming out of the pockets of you and I and all your listeners.
We talked a moment ago, of course, about the legislation that's been passed in the House, is pending in the Senate, and as of right now, of course, has not been approved or signed into law. But even if it doesn't happen, we've obviously seen steps taken by the Environmental Protection Agency to do it by themselves. What exactly are they threatening or actually doing right now?
Oh, they're going to do it, it sounds like. EPA's on a course, as far as I'm concerned, that's going to damage the environment and not protect it. Lisa Jackson there, the secretary, says that the House and Senate won't pass cap and trade, then they're just going to go ahead and enact these ways to reduce greenhouse gases, including CO2. She has never come out and said why she really thinks that CO2 is causing significant warming, except to say the science is settled, which is just hiding behind a statement that is absolutely not true. It's known to be false. Even Phil Jones from East Anglia over there that was running their climate research unit, with the admission of the email, with the emails coming out, has now admitted publicly that the science is not settled. And he's a 34-year veteran of climate research. And, you know, what does Lisa Jackson know that Phil Jones doesn't know?
Mr. Stewart, just about a minute left in our conversation here. And I've talked with other climatologists who are skeptical about the climate change movement. And one of them says that the proof is in the pudding when you look at the fact that over the last decade or so, CO2 levels have risen while average temperature has fallen. And that proves, in his mind, that the CO2 does not directly lead to a greenhouse effect and therefore higher temperature.
That's right. And when I look back for much longer periods of time, I see that happening over and over again. There is just simply no footprint in the real data that shows you that. All of the catastrophes are coming from model forecasts.
So we will keep an eye on the debate, both in Congress and beyond. Mr. Stewart, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, I appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
Same here, sir. Leighton Stewart is the author of Fire, Ice, and Paradise. He's also chairman of the nonprofit organizations PlantsNeedCO2.org and CO2IsGreen.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.